Good morning to all of you. Be thou my vision. Such a clear, simple prayer that God would be the center of our lives day after day. And certainly one of the ways that God brings himself into our sight day after day is through his word. And so we're going to take that up again at this time, reflect with the Lord on what he's saying to us in our lives. And a couple of passages we're going to be in this morning. So if you're going to follow along, invite you to Psalm 139, and that's going to be verses 13 to 16 in particular. And then as you find Psalm 139, put a finger in that. So we're going to start, but we're going to end and spend really most of our time in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, also verses 13 to 16. So Psalm 139, 13 to 16, Mark 10, 13 to 16 as well. Pastor Tim just mentioned a moment ago we're beginning a new series, and this one will take us up to Lent, which may be hard to believe is not that far away at this point. But this series, thinking about the chapters of life, the seasons of life that we live in as God's people. And one of the values that we have as a church here at Friendship is to be a multi-generational church. Of course, this is more than just demographics on paper, although you can see that if you look around the different ages and abilities that we represent here as God's people at Friendship. But it's more of an intentional desire, an aspiration that not only will we in ages represent different seasons, different chapters of life, but that we'd also be seeing together how God values us at every stage of life, how he has purpose for us at every stage of life as well, and how we are trying to be intentional to cultivate, to share, to celebrate the love of God with people everywhere across the full spectrum of our lives. And so as we enter into this series, and we plan to kind of walk along through the different stages in the weeks ahead, just want to set some of the foundational groundwork here as we head into thinking first and foremost about our young children and the value and the purpose God places upon them in their lives at this stage. So really that groundwork and the statement, maybe if you're one who writes it down, to write down here at the outset, is that God values us and has us called to service at every season of our lives. God values us and calls us to serve him at every age, every season of our lives. Now, I just don't want to say that. I want to ground it in Scripture, and we can see that, I believe, in Psalm 139, and so that's where we're going to first turn to today to see how that is supported. That comes right from God's Word, that he does value us and calls us to serve him at every age of our lives. So this is Psalm 139, beginning at verse 13. The whole psalm really is speaking of the intimate connection we have in our lives with God, and these verses highlight that well. Psalm 139, 13 to 16. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Thank God again for his word. So again, we're thinking about this foundational piece that at every age of life, God values us and calls us to serve him. And really, this psalm sets out that God is the setting our lives are meant to be lived in. Or we studied this psalm back last summer. We used that word habitat, right? Every creature has their natural habitat. For us as human beings, God is our habitat. He is the one we are meant to live in relationship with. God is the one who gives us life, is with us throughout life, points us to the direction for our lives. We're not really living, we don't really have life apart from God. And just really quickly, I want to highlight three ways in this psalm where we can see that, are reminded, yes, God values us at every age and stage, and he has purpose for us at every age and stage as well. First and foremost, God made us. Very clear in this psalm. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You've made me fearfully and wonderfully. Right, all throughout this psalm, we're reminded that from beginning to end, we are creations of God's hand. We are here today, living and breathing only because of the creative power of God. That right there shows God's valuing of us, that he would make us, that he would sustain our lives day after day. But secondly, we also see that God has purpose for us in our lives. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's works are wonderful. God doesn't do anything without reason, without purpose. He didn't just make us and say, well, we'll see what happens. Right? He's made us with purpose. And we see elsewhere in Scripture how he's made us with good purpose. And of course, to worship him, to glorify him with all that we are each and every day of our lives for all eternity, as we see in Jesus Christ. So it's not even just that God values us. He also has purpose for us, this calling to serve. And then we also see, thirdly, the reminder that God has ordained all of our days. Verse 16 reminds us of that. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I don't care how old you or I might be, how many days we lived or how few we've lived. All of them God has seen beforehand. All of them, again, he has ordained. He has purpose for. And again, that purpose is to serve him, to love him, to live for him, as we sang earlier, led by the cadets. So again, we see in Scripture the foundation of this as we walk through this series together, these chapters of life, and wherever we might be in this spectrum, that God values us at every one of these stages and calls us to serve him at each and every one. So this morning, the question is, how does God communicate this value to our young children? And how is he calling them to serve him at this stage? So for that, we want to go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. I invite you to turn with me there. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And the story of Jesus' encounter with the young children there. Mark 10, 13 to 16. This is God's word again. Now people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, we've seen this foundation of how God values us, calls us to serve him at every stage. What about you, little children? What about our young children? What does that look like? How does God tell you he values you, that you're important, and that you have a call to serve as well? And what can we, all of us in the church, be learning from the way that Jesus communicates to us about the youngest members in our midst? So let's think about that together this morning. First, it's important to see the scene here in this text. There's really two particular groups, two audiences that are in play. One, of course, is children that are coming to Jesus, being brought to him. And the other, as it were, are the adult members of the church, particularly Jesus' disciples. But the parents or whoever adults are bringing the children are there as well. It's important to know that at this time and in the culture, children, these young children, were seen as the least important members of society, the least amount of value. This phrase or word that Mark uses here for children, it's used elsewhere of children up to 12 years of age, but probably here Jesus has in mind, or the scene has in mind, even younger children than that. In Luke's account, he actually uses the word for infants. We know that Jesus takes them in his arms. But nevertheless, these are young children. And in society of that day, they were afterthoughts. It's why we see so often in Scripture the societies around the Israelites are sacrificing their children. They're just doing away with them. They're disposable. Right? They don't have very much value. Even in the Jewish culture of Jesus' day, the children were just the lowest rung of the totem pole. Right? They can't do much for themselves. They're dependent on others. They're not really contributing through their working life. They're not able to do that. They can't really reason or logic things out yet. So yes, they're there, but they don't really have much value as far as the bigger picture of society is concerned. And maybe that explains some of what we see the disciples doing in this text. As these parents or adults, whoever they might be, are bringing these young children to Jesus, they're bringing him so that he might touch them, which means just that he might bless them, that the children might receive, like everyone else is, the blessing of Jesus' ministry, who he is and what he's doing. But the disciples, we're told, are rebuking the adults who are bringing the children, are turning the children away. No, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Right? He's got so much going on. He's only here for a limited amount of time, and that's a precious resource. He should be spending his time, his ministry, on more important matters with more important people, maybe like us, disciples, but not you children. So you need to go away. You see the question of value that is first and front right in this text. Are these members, these youngest members, important members of the family? And right away we see Jesus respond strongly and communicate very clearly to our young children that yes, you are valuable members of this community, that God values each and every one of you. Jesus, we're told, in response to his disciples rebuking these children and the parents, is indignant. It's a strong word. It's the only time really that Jesus is seen with this word, this reaction. It's an irritation. It's an upsetting. It's an anger, really, at what his disciples are doing. Why? Because their actions are not lining up with the value of God. Their actions are not lining up with the values of God's kingdom. They're saying to these children, you aren't very valuable. You are insignificant. You don't really matter here. Jesus doesn't have time for you. And Jesus says, well, that's not the case. And Jesus shows very clearly that he values these young children by the time he gives to them, by the care he gives to them, and by the blessing, the ministry he gives to them as well. And you see that in this text. Jesus says, no, let the children come to me. I have time for them. Right, looking back, we know that Jesus only ministers for a short amount of time in the grand scheme, maybe 3 years. He is always moving around. There's lots to do, but he has time for these children. Let them come to me. And then he takes them in his arms. He appropriately cares for them. Our young children especially need this from adults in their lives, this kind of appropriate touch, this appropriate expressions of love. We all need that to a certain extent, but our children especially need that. And Jesus shows that here. And then he blesses them, we're told at the end. He ministers to them. He gives to them of who he is and what he's come to do. And he says very clearly, the kingdom of God belongs to these young children, to such as these. What a statement, what an action of the value that God places on these youngest members of his family. And it's very clearly right in the face of what the culture, even his disciples, were showing in that moment. Jesus is saying, I value you. And for us as a church, that's something we need to reflect on as well. Right, how are we displaying the value that God holds for our youngest members? And I think, too, we're not only maybe thinking today of just age, but also ability. We have members of our families, our church families, of course, that deal with intellectual disabilities. I would say for most of them, they fit in this category as well. Seen as insignificant in the culture, they can't help out or can't contribute very much like our children. And Jesus says to those who culture might deem insignificant, well, no, I value you. You are significant to me. You are important. So for our children this morning, I know many of them are in children's worship, but I hope you hear that Jesus values you. You are important to Jesus. You matter to him. He loves you, and the kingdom of God belongs to you as well. But secondly, Jesus speaks toward the purpose our children have and how they can be serving Jesus even at these young, tender ages. And really, Jesus is communicating that our young children serve the Lord by simply being children, by simply being children who are joyfully dependent on the people around them in their lives. How does Jesus communicate that? Well, he turns to his disciples. He says, let the children come to me. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And he says, in fact, no one's going to receive the kingdom of God unless they receive it like these children. Like these children receive things. Jesus says to the community, it's so good, it's so needed for these children to be children. They are serving me when they are just living as young children, dependent on the people around them. Because we need that in the church. We need that joy, and we also need to be reminded of how the kingdom of God doesn't come to us unless we are depending on Jesus Christ to give it to us and to receive it from him. And so Jesus says, children, you serve the Lord by simply being children, joyfully dependent on the people around you. I know our children, of course, aren't perfect. None of us are. But isn't it true that they're so joyfully dependent, especially at these youngest ages? Right? They can't do very much for themselves. But then again, they're not bothered by that. They're not looking to do very much for themselves. They know they need to receive things from parents and grandparents and other adults, food on the table, a place to sleep, clothes to wear, all of these things. And they're very good at receiving it, sometimes to a fault. But they're very good at receiving these things and taking them in and not saying like, well, I'm getting this because of my credentials or my resume, because of who I am. They're not looking to even come in often and say, well, I need to have a part in this. I need to do that too. Our children are just good at being joyfully dependent in their lives. And Jesus is saying, this is so right and good. They are serving me and really building up the church by living just as they are in this particular stage of life, as children who are joyfully dependent on the people around me. And again, Jesus says to us as adults, we can learn from our children. This is part of why they're so valuable amongst us, because this is how the kingdom of God is received. Doesn't matter if you're young, old, in between, what your age, what your ability is. This is how the kingdom works. Right? It's not something we can earn. It's not something we can do for ourselves in our independent, independence. We need Jesus and to joyfully depend on him. Right? As we think about the gospel that brings us all together, it's the truth that there's a problem between us and God in our sin, in our brokenness. God is holy. He is perfect. He is beautiful. He is wise. You and I are not. We are broken. We are sinners. And no effort of our own could ever fix that. But we are running away from God in and of ourselves. Yet Jesus has come to bring us back to God. Here comes Jesus, the very Son of God, who takes on our human flesh and so is able to bring us back together. And he does that by living his life perfectly without sin and yet goes to the cross, gives up his life, takes on himself the punishment for all of our sins to take it off of us, to make us right, to say, now you have my credit before God. You are now righteous before him. I've removed from you the enemies, the barriers that stood in the way between you and God, sin and death. And Jesus has done that in his death and resurrection. He says to us, this is a free gift. It's not about what you do, it's about what I have done, Jesus says. And we need to just joyfully receive that gift. We live our lives joyfully dependent on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who makes us again all the children of God. And so Jesus says to our children, be children as I've made you to be. Live that life joyfully dependent on those around you, because we in the church need to see that and be reminded of it. It brings us joy and it reminds us how all of this belongs to God and depends on him and not on what we do. Well, let's bring this to a conclusion, thinking about some ways that we can follow the example of Jesus, this body of Christ here at Friendship. How do we go about showing this kind of value and encouraging our young children in the service they can offer to the Lord as we live from day to day and in the church? First way I think we follow the example of Jesus is by communicating to our young children that we value them, by giving them our time, by giving them appropriate care, and by giving them the blessing of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The same things that Jesus shows in valuing the children, we can show as well. One of the great ways, of course, we can do that, and I think we're doing this well at Friendship, is to have ministries for our children, whether that's Sunday school or children's worship, cadets, GEMS, nursery, all these things communicate that they are important, that they matter. We're making time for them. We're making space for them. That's good, right? We need to care for our children appropriately, right? Again, our young children especially need to be upheld in that way. And I know parents and grandparents, you have a special opportunity for this in your lives with the young children in your families. But all of us in the church can go about that, right? Caring for our children in appropriate ways that lets them know they are valued. And then blessing them with the ministry of the church, right? Jesus speaks his word of blessing over the children. In the name of Jesus, we can speak that same blessing. As Sarah just prayed a few moments ago, that's one way we can do that, praying for our children, leading them in worship, right? All these different things. That communicates value to them, to say, you matter, you're important, we need you as part of this community. We're going to make that time. We're going to care for you well. We're going to minister to you in the name of Jesus Christ. That follows the example of Jesus. Secondly, I want to say this, that we want to nurture spaces where our children can be children. What I mean is this. We know that sin and brokenness so often robs our children of their childhood. Right? Our broken relationships, our sin, the poverty in the world, all these things, they make our children have to grow up faster, really, than they should have to. Right? To take on some of the burdens of adulthood even earlier than the normal cycle of life would have them. In the church, we want to nurture spaces where our children can just enjoy being children. I can have that joy, can be dependent on others, can live with that freedom without the burden, can worship freely and give those expressions without too much thought, without those burdens of adulthood. I think that's a real challenge and a real calling for us in our lives too, to nurture these spaces, nurture healthy marriages, to nurture healthy families, healthy churches centered on Jesus Christ. Because that is the best way to open up the space for our children to be children. And remember, they serve the Lord just in that way, by living out this joyful life and their expressions of faith according to their age and their ability. So what does that look like in our church family, in your personal family, to nurture that space? Right, to keep upholding the value, the importance of our children in that way. And then thirdly, finally, I think just to encourage and to uphold the expressions of faith of our children. Yes, you know, you've been to maybe a band recital for your younger children. It's not like maybe adults would play those instruments. You have a painting or picture they might bring home. It's not like an adult might draw. The words they say are maybe not as eloquent as an adult would give. Nevertheless, these expressions of faith are just that. And they are appropriate for the age and the ability of our children. And we need to continue to uphold them and encourage them. And I think, friends, that friendship does that well. Just saw it a few minutes ago, just that encouragement for our children as they led us in singing. And we've seen it before as they've played piano and they did some preludes or they had the Christmas program. Why, we wanted to continue to encourage them because these are wonderful expressions of faith. We shouldn't downplay them as simple or things like that. They are just wonderful expressions of faith that these youngest members of our community are offering up to God. We want to celebrate that. We want to hold that up. Friends, in so many ways, we as God's people are called to lead. Not just lead within the church, but to lead the world as how we're supposed to live, knowing that we are valued by God, knowing that He has a purpose for us. Our young children are no different. We get to lead in showing that our children are valuable, they're significant, they matter from conception all the way through, and that they too are serving the Lord and have a purpose in their lives to follow Him. Because truly, Jesus is calling all of us into His arms, calling us to Himself to receive His kingdom, His life eternal. So children, know again that you are valued by God. His kingdom is for you. That's true of me. That's true of all of us as well. You are valuable members of this community, just as each and every one of us are. We all are serving the Lord together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for your word. Today your word reminds us, Lord, that you have made each and every one of us, that we are significant in your sight, that we're valued by you, that we're important. And also, Lord, that you have purpose for us. Lord, sometimes we need to be reminded of that, that we aren't the only ones who matter either, that each one around us is important and needed. And we thank you so much this day for our young children, Lord, for the joy they bring into our midst, for their expressions of faith that you are already leading them to in their lives, their songs, their prayers, their words, their pictures. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for how they remind us, Lord, how we are to receive your kingdom. We depend on you for life every day, and we certainly depend on you for life everlasting. You've given us this through your Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us to uphold each other, every stage of life. Lord, especially help us going forward to uphold our children. Give them the opportunity to be who you've made them to be, to encourage them in their expressions of faith, and to rejoice in your Son, Jesus Christ, together. We pray it all in his name. Amen.